Okay, hello everyone. So, today's Mishmar is going to be on a very interesting topic related to this week's parasha. This week's parasha is Baloischa. Now, in this week's parasha, the pasuk tells us about the Misaininim. The Misaininim were Jews that complained. It says, "Vayihah Misaininim," the Jewish people complained. They complained about everything. They complained about the lack of food. They complained about being stuck in the desert. And it says, "Vayicharaf Hashem behem," and Hashem got very upset by this. And there's really no reference as to what motivated their complaints, what bothered them so much. It just says Vayihi Amisayin, and right after Vayihi Ben Sa'arayin, the pasuk says Vayihi Amisayin, they started to complain. What was the root of their complaint, and how do we make sure not to, in our own lives, not to make the same mistake, to learn from their mistake and not to make it twice? And I think it's actually a very, what I'm going to be basing today, and I'm going to have the sources Bli Nether sent out if anyone ever needs it. It's avizakutinsky@gmail.com, avizakutinsky@gmail.com. But the main two sources that I want to focus on today is Hashem Yishmuel. This is the Hashem Yishmuel in the first year of Tofresh Ayin. He has one paragraph that he discusses that I think is very important for all of us to go through. And there's a piece from Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita, one of the big tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, in Leket Amarim, Chelik Beis, Daf Chof Aleph. So, the Shem Yishmuel says like this, L'havin inyan ha-mesayinim, to understand what the motivation was behind the Jews' complaint. De'issa b'shem ha-Baal Shem Tov. There's a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, B'divrei ha-Medrash Rabbah, that the Baal Shem Tov quoted a Medrash that yinahagenu al-Musa ilamis. That says the Baal Shem Tov, D'kimoy tinik. This is a very, very important yesod. For every person in their own level of Avodas Hashem, the Baal Shem Tov said as follows, D'kimoy tinik b'shasha av melamdoi leilich. Just like you have a child, when the child begins to learn how to walk, how do you do that? K'shatinik miskarev etzloi hu marchik es atzmai mimenu. The way that you teach a child to walk, if you hold on to a child his whole life, then he'll never grow on his own, he'll never develop. So what you do is you put the child down and you take a step back. And the child now walks towards you. And once he's able to take that step comfortably, you take a second step back. And then he'll take two steps towards you. V'chulu v'chulu, and so it goes, that in order to allow the child to walk on his own, you have to be able to take a step back to let him be his own person. Where the parent takes a step back, not to reject the child, but in order to teach him how to walk. And it turns out that the distance that the parent is giving towards the child, the distance between the parent and the child, is very productive. And it's very constructive. It allows the child to walk on his own. It allows the child to be his own person for a moment. So says the Shem Yishmuel, you have to understand, what was this complaint about? So says the Shem Yishmuel, in the Midbar, the Jewish people were on a very lofty level. Shahayislam hezgalus elikus, and they were in a very, it was like a cocoon. It was like a spiritual cocoon. They had a revelation of Hashem. Even their bread was falling from the sky. It wasn't real. It wasn't real life. It wasn't a long-term solution. The life in a midbar, the life in the desert, was like an oasis. It was a beautiful short-term solution, but he says, but this wasn't the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is not to live in the desert. We all know that. We know that before the neshama comes down to the world, it's in a similar situation. The neshama is in Shemayim. He's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has his own type of man. He's in his own cocoon with the Anani HaKavod. Everything's perfect there too. That's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is not to bring heaven down to earth, but to bring earth up to heaven. It's not to find a perfectly spiritual oasis and live there. The neshama already had that. They already had angels. The neshama already had that experience. But you know what the purpose of life is? The purpose of life is to come down to this world and to have a real life. And within that real life, to serve Hashem. Not to run away from the world. Not to have this short-term existence with the Creator that we're just in a desert alone, away from everybody. And you have Mon coming down. And Nani HaKavod. That's not real. It wasn't short-term. You think the Jewish people could live on their own after that? You think they could handle what it's like to be in America in 2020? Of course not. Because it's opposites. There's no greater polar opposites than real life than to what they were going through. So says the Shem Yishmuel, V'zu ha'isa kavon shaliyali Eretz Yisrael v'yizu v'yachashu. And that's why Hashem so desperately did not want them to stay in the desert. The avoda, the purpose was to enter Eretz Yisrael and to reap and to sow and to have a real life. To have a real existence in Eretz Yisrael, to work the land, haynu sheyasku b'dvarim gashmiim, to serve, to have a physical real life, not necessarily something that's surrounded by Anyanei HaKavod, but to have a real Anyanei Gashmi, to have a world of a regular existence. And in that real world, to serve Hashem. Therefore, that was the Avodah. Midbar was never a long-term solution, it was a short-term solution. V'ata, and now she'yu krovim likanetz Eretz Yisrael. And now that the Jewish people, this is before the Meraglim, the plan was for the Jewish people to right after building the Mishkan to enter Eretz Yisrael. So because the Jewish people were about to enter Eretz Yisrael, you have to understand, the Jewish people at that time were like children. They had never walked on their own. They never knew what it was like to feel the emptiness of going to work every day. They didn't know what it's like to have an argument. They didn't know what it's like to just be a real person. And Hashem wanted them to, in order to be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, it's like, it was too extreme, it was too extreme of a change. The shift would have been too drastic. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu started doing is, what does a parent do when they want the child to walk? They take a step back. And because now they were getting close to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem had to take a step back. Now, what does that mean? What that meant in practically, what does it mean for Hashem to take a step back? What it meant practically was, they didn't feel as much when they davened. Their davening wasn't with as much passion. Their learning didn't feel like there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of them. The feelings that they normally had, the feeling of his skarvus, the feeling of closeness to the Creator, started to be pulled away. When it says Hashem took steps back, what it meant was Hashem, all of a sudden, every tefillah was not Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah. And all of a sudden, every shir was not an amazing shir. All of a sudden, they started to just go through the motions and they didn't feel anything in those emotions. They didn't feel the excitement anymore that they used to have. There was a hisrachus. There was a distance. And that's why the Aron would always go in front of them, not in their midst. Why? Kadesh Yisraglu. It wasn't Hashem rejecting them, Chalila, but it was Kadesh Yisraglu Karvis Atzmai. Hashem wanted to see their devotion. Hashem wanted it to be real. Real life is not just serving Hashem when it's exciting. That's not real. That's like a honeymoon. That's not real life. You can't have your relationship with Hashem contingent and that's it. That your whole basis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I only serve Him. Till now we've never had a fight. I don't know, Chas V'Shalom, mean that you should endorse fighting with the Creator, but it means every single tefillah is passionate. That's gewaldic. But then what happens when you don't have passion? Will you still be there? Hashem wants people. He doesn't want angels. He wants people. He wants to see that you're in it always, that you're in it whether it's good or whether it's bad. And therefore, in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to start walking on her own, He took steps back. And He says, V'achekach ve'zeu limudli, it, meaning, k'dei she'yisraglu karetz atzmai behem lo hevinu zois. V'hoyim esayin them. It says the Shem Yishmuel, such a powerful yisayin, they didn't realize this. The Jewish people didn't realize that the distance that they were feeling, they thought that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejecting them, and out of frustration they started to complain. The Jewish people complained not because they were actually complaining about anything, they were lashing out. because the first time ever since they were taken out of Mitzrayim, it was the first time that their davening wasn't the same, the learning wasn't the same. And instead of realizing that that's life, and that's an important aspect of life, which is showing Hashem your devotion even when it's difficult, even when it's unexciting, as opposed to understanding that and having the maturity of understanding that, they thought Hashem was leaving them. And therefore they lashed out. They started to complain. But says the Shem Yishmuel, v'zeu limu litzirim. This is a very important message, especially for the younger people. Shemaschim lavad Hashem Yisbarach b'slavus. That they're in yeshiva, and it's exciting, and it's on fire. And the Yiddishkeit is on fire. V'yachach noiflim ma'amid yigasim. Then what happens when you come back to America? You come back to real life? Well, the real life comes at you fast. It hits you in the face. And then what happens? I probably shouldn't quote him in a shir, but there's a famous line. It's a good line. Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until you punch in the face. So they're mamish on fire. And they're exciting. This is true for Bali Chuba also. They're excited. Slavos. And then what happens? And what happens is inevitably Hashem pulls back. But the pull back is not to reject you, Chalila. And a lot of times people don't understand this. Hashem pulls back in order for you to walk to Him. Hashem pulls back in order for you to be able to show your devotion and to show Hashem that I will daven always. I will learn always, not just when it's easy. Because when you learn when it's easy and when you daven when it's easy, there's a certain lack of connection. It's like it could be erased. You know, one of the averas, in last week's parasha we had the saita. What's the inyan of the saita? So the saita is the wayward wife, the wife who commits adultery potentially. She secludes with another man. And we know that the Svarim, the Bava Tzur Rebbe has a whole arichos about this, a whole sikh about this, that the relationship of the Saita is not just a wife and a husband, it's the Jewish people with Hashem. The process of the Saita is Hashem telling us not to seclude with another person, not to leave him. What happens with the Saita? What happens with the Saita is, you take Hashem's name, you take a parsha that's written on a klaf, on a scroll, and you erase it into the water, and she drinks the water. What's the symbolism of that? So the Baba Tzareb, amongst others, explains, the symbolism is, you have a scroll, which is a parchment, it comes from an animal, and you have ink, and you put them together, and it looks like they're very, very connected. Just like a husband and wife look very, very connected. And just like the Jewish people in Hashem could look very, very connected. But what happens when you erase it? When you erase it, that shows that it's still erasable. That's Hashem's way of giving Musa to the Jewish people and to say that while it might look, if you serve Hashem when everything's good, then your relationship is still erasable, because what will happen? What will happen when it's difficult? Will you still be there? As long as there's a doubt, as long as there's a shemetz, is a question of an area of even a 1% chance of where will you be when things are tough, then you're not connected legamri. You might be very close. You might be a klaf with ink on top, but it's still erasable. Our avoda is to get into a chakika. Chakika means something carved in stone. Your Yiddishkeit has to be carved in stone. Carved in stone means that it's not you and Hashem, and I do it when it's easy. And what happens when it's not easy? Well, I don't know. It's never happened before. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. I think I'll do it. And until you're proven, until Hashem takes a step back and you walk to Him, your relationship is ink and paper. And it can be erased. Because what happens if? But once you're tried and true, once Hashem takes a step back and you've walked to Him and you've already been revealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no matter what, I'm not leaving. No matter what, I am in this forever. No matter what, then it's a chakika. Then it's zois chukas haTorah, it's a chakika, which means carved into stone, where the letters itself are part of the stone. They can't be separated. That's the inyan, says the Shem Yishmuel of the Mesoidenim, is they didn't realize that Hashem takes distance away from every Jew. It's not just them. Every Jew goes through moments of distance where you feel nothing. We push it, feel nothing in your Yiddishkeit. And you're learning, and it's a reality. And listen, is it great to feel? Of course it's great to feel. And we do our best to try to find feeling. And we do our best to try to daven in a way that brings passion, and learn in a way that brings passion, and try to find limudim that excite you. But at the end of the day, there are times where Hashem has hisrachus, Hashem pulls back, but that's okay. As Rabbi Nachman said, Hisrachus kula hiskarvus. It's all closeness. It's all just allowing you to show you what you're made of, to show you how devoted you are to Hashem, that you're willing to walk to Him. And he says that a lot of times younger people will have a slavus, they'll have excitement. But at some point they fall. But they have to realize that Hashem taking a step back is from heaven. Because Hashem wants to show you how strong you are. You don't just serve me when it's easy, you're strong. You'll serve me always. You wonder how I'm going to show that? I'm going to make it hard. I'm going to pull away the excitement. I'm going to make you daven in a basement for 3 months. Or even outside in a minyan outside where it's raining. This past Friday night we had a minyan behind my house. Not my minyan, but just my neighbors had a minyan. It was pouring. And everybody was standing trying to find shelter. They davened. I can't be more proud. They're my neighbors. They don't really know. I should know them better more than I do. But I've never been more proud of them. That's showing Hashem devotion. And you know what? If we never had this situation, would I know whether I would daven when it's 90 degrees out, or would I know whether I would daven in the rain? No. But now you do, and that's the point. The Jewish people didn't understand this. They started to complain. They lashed out. They thought Hashem was rejecting them. Oh, you're rejecting me, I'm rejecting you. You can't fire me, I quit. But that's not the avoida. The avoida is to recognize the truth, which is Hashem is never rejecting. He was allowing you to walk. And you have to mechazik yourself. When you go through difficult times, when you go through, again, not physically difficult, I mean spiritually difficult, when you go through times where you don't have hergish, where there's not a lot of emotion in your Yiddishkeit, where you're not really into it, as they say, you have to mechazik yourself and realize that this is a test. It's an opportunity. Not just a test, it's an opportunity for me to show to Hashem how devoted I am to Him and how I'm never going to leave Him. You know, I want to take this to one more point. You know, according to Shem Yishmuel, the reason why the Jewish people were misogynist and the reason why they complained is because they didn't realize that Hashem taking a step back is an opportunity and it's not a rejection. And therefore, whenever we go through that, we also have to mechazik ourselves and to realize that Hashem is not rejecting us, Chalila. It's an opportunity for us to show Hashem how devoted we are. And that's true. But I think that there's a second point, which is very connected to the first point. And that's an essay from Rav Yaakov Meir Schachter. One of the reasons why people have a problem with this, and really, this is really, I think, what the Shem Yishmuel is saying, is because they expect too much. Look what he says. This is Daf Chaf Aleph in Lekan Amarim. The title of this essay is Lehistapik Gam B'chayse Sipuk, which is to be satisfied without being satisfied. To be satisfied without being satisfied, which means a lot of times in life, davening is not going to be as magical as you expect, and that's okay. Don't expect more. You should just be happy that you're zoicha to serve the Creator. If you've built up this expectation that every tefillah has to be Yom Kippur, it's very in line to what the Shem Yishmuel is saying. You have to realize that that's not life. And it's not life because Hashem wants you to show you. He wants you to be in it always. And therefore we have to start accustoming ourselves that when we have those moments of inspiration, that's gewaldig. But that can't be the expectation. He says, Zeis shuma aleinu ladas, says the Rav Yaakov Meir Schachter, you have to appreciate this yisoid. We know that there's a concept to freedom with a little, which is to be okay with a little. We know when it comes to monetary, right? Ezu ashir hasemech bechalkai. If you have a little bit of money, but you have enough, you should be happy with that physically. It's a very good thing to not be greedy, to not expect too much, to just be happy with what Hashem gives you. When it comes to financial things, we know that that's a positive element. And we know when it comes to money, you should just be happy with what Hashem gives you. You could daven for more, you could hope for more, but don't expect more. When it comes to parnasa, just be happy with what Hashem gives you. Be happy that Hashem gave you that, and He's taking care of you. That's enough. He's giving you what you need. Not necessarily what you want, but that's what you need. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, it's better to have a piece of dry bread and be happy. There are people that go through life not happy. Just be happy with what you have. Don't look at what other people have. Be happy that you have enough. You have the perfect amount for you. Don't be jealous of what your friend has. Be happy with what you have. Now again, that can't stop your attempt to grow more. You should try to make more money, blah blah blah, and we all know. But there has to be a histapkus, which is you can't expect so much in life. You have to just be okay and realize that Hashem is taking care of you. So too says Rav Yaakov Meir, Kamoi kein be'etzem asipa ganavshi shemoitzim mikol davar. Tzarech ladasel stafik v'muot. So too it is with spiritual elements. You can't expect that every Gemara Shir is going to, you're going to feel Moshe Rabbeinu standing in front of you. Not every tefillah is going to be Yom Kippur. It's just not. Not every tefillin is going to be the first time you wore it. You should try to have excitement and you try to work on that having excitement. But if you don't have it, you can't let that break you. You can't let that be your downfall. You can't become the Messianim. You have to realize that life is, unfortunately, Hashem. It's not unfortunate. I take that back. Life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to show how devoted you are. And the only way to do that is if you're willing to walk through the mud when it's difficult. That's the reality. It's not a bad thing. It's not a punishment. It's not a rejection. It's an opportunity. And therefore, don't expect that every single tefillah is going to be Yom Kippur. It's not. But that's okay. On the contrary, those tefillahs are going to be the greatest tefillahs that you have. Because those are going to be the tefillahs that are the most real. Those are emes. Karev Hashem l'chol karev. Hashem is close to anyone who calls him out. L'chol Hashem karev be'emes. As long as you call him out with truth. Hashem wants truth. Truth means consistency. To me, this, not like a Saita, who, yeah, whenever things are well, then she's with her husband. They're not. They can be a race. No. Hashem wants consistency. Hadvar mamur mazmanenu kayoim, livnei derenu, and Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter says this is specifically true for our days. Sheyeshnam hamoin anoshim hasoivlim mitzar hakosha shel shimum va'azos yad, haboim kitoitzas mechoyser sipuk b'chaim. There are people that are just, they expect more from life. I don't want to sound depressed. They expect like every day is just going to be like, today is going to be the best day of the life. Today you could accomplish. And you have to be able to realize that every tefillah is not going to be Yom Kippur. Every daf is not going to be the greatest daf you've ever heard. But that's okay. It's an opportunity to show Hashem that you're in it always. If you have a person that only wants to have life, that only wants to be alive when things are good, it's a very unhealthy person. You have to just want life always, because it's worth living always. Not just when things are good, but when things are bad too. Because that's part of life. I've mentioned this before. The Ish Kodesh writes in his diary, the famous line that he says the Jewish soul wants to yearn, it wants to feel. It wants to feel everything. It wants to feel happy, it wants to feel sad. That's our avodah. I don't want to take too long. Because I think it's hard for people, it's even hard for myself to, this whole Zoom thing, I'm looking forward to this being over. But that's the avodah. We have to remember that the Messiah made the complaint, they made the mistake of thinking that the taking a step back was a rejection, chalila. It wasn't a rejection. On the contrary, it was an opportunity to grow. It was an opportunity to show Hashem that you're in this always. And therefore, the moments of life, there are a lot of moments of life that are exciting, and you have to hold on to those, but the moments of life that are not exciting, those tefillahs that are difficult, those davenings, those dafyoimis that are hard, those shiurim that are more difficult, you have to realize that's not a rejection, chalila, that's an opportunity to show Hashem what you're made of. It's Hashem taking a step back in order for us to walk to Him. That's our avoid, that we should walk to Hashem. We should continue to walk to Hashem, to have the strength to always walk to Him, regardless of whether we want to or not. We have the strength that we're always going to walk to Him. As I mentioned in the past, a famous you said from the Baal Shem Tov, the Gemara says in Brachas, Kol Oimer Balabayis Asei Chutz Mitzei, which is that the Gemara says that the host, the guest, should always listen to the host, except when the host says leave. So the question is, what do you mean, Kol Oimer Balabayis Asei Chutz Mitzei? If the host says to leave, you should leave. So it says the Baal Shem Tov, it's talking about Hashem, that you should be able to listen. Kol Oimer Balabayis Asei, I'm listening to Hashem always chutz mitzei, except if He says leave me. If He says leave, no, I'm going to keep walking, because that's what a Jew does. We're not a saita that we can be erased. We're a chakika. Our relationship with Hashem is ingrained within us. It's innate. It's not something we could separate. And the only way to prove that is by serving Hashem when it's difficult. It's an opportunity. We should mechazek ourselves to be able to keep walking to Him. We shall be zeichet to agulam izmeir b'meiru amen.